Brother Vong, why don't you come? Brother Vong is with us. He's in the college this week, and I always like to have our guys back from the mission field when they're here with us. So tonight I asked him to come, and he is going to give us an update and also preach for us. And Brother Vong, how old were you when you started coming here? 12 years old. I still remember the early days when we started doing the tracks, and I didn't know what I was doing. So were you in high school? No, I mean, when you'd help, I'd bring you out of high school class and come in and say, you got to help me make this track. I have no idea what I'm doing. We'd sit down there, and then he would do it, and I would take the credit, okay? But he was a tremendous help, worked in our school, worked on a ministry, so glad to have him. Brother Gavon, why don't you come?
Thank you, sir. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Myers. And speaking of tracks, there's one track that I can recall that always, whenever I see it, it brings joy to my heart, is when the track that says, are you running on E? You guys remember that track, running on E, or running on empty, okay? It has a picture of Pastor Myers there with a gas tank. I don't know if you remember that. No, I'm just kidding. But there goes my love offering check, amen? No, I'm just kidding. What a blessing it is to be here. Thankful to be back at Pacific Baptist Church. And just want to introduce myself real quick because I see a lot of new people. It's exciting to come back and see old colleagues and old students. Now they are old, amen. And also not only that, new faces. Man, there's a lot of folks that I don't know out here, and so I'm very thankful to be back. My name is Sarah Vong. I got saved in this ministry, and I was sent out of this ministry to invest in the Cambodian people, and I'm so thankful for your partnership and your prayers. My wife was able to be here last July. I think some of you were able to meet her and revisit with her there. But God has called us to the country of Cambodia. We've been serving there for the past 4 years. It was actually 4 years a few days ago. And so thankful to the Lord for the privilege to work there amongst our team. And boy, what a blessing it is to work with members on your team that go to the same church. Same philosophy, same direction. There's great accountability in that, so I'm so very thankful for that. And I also want to say thank you for praying for our family. This past July was kind of a different July for me. Normally, Julys and August, they're very memorable. You know, I got married in July. A few of our babies were born in July and August, and so a very memorable time in July and August. But this past July, I contracted dengue fever. How many of you have ever heard of dengue fever? Boy, well, I would not wish dengue fever on my worst enemy, amen? And so it was a challenge. But during that week, when I was out of my mind, I also received news from my wife that actually, my wife came here to the States to visit, and also actually she went to see a specialist concerning my youngest daughter, Lara. So during the week that I had dengue fever, I was out of my mind. My wife, I forgot to mention, I had 5 kids with me as she was here in America enjoying In-N-Out Burger and all that. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I had 5 kids with me. I thank God for Titus. Titus, he's all grown up now. He's 13 years old. I think he has armpit hair now, I think. Wow. In just a couple months here, I'll have 2 teenagers in my household. It's time to reap what I sow, amen? But thank God for Titus. He helped big time. I think he went to the store to buy about 50-something coconuts for me when I was out. And so I drank a lot of coconut, amen? So, that week, roughest week in my, if you would, ministry, I received news that my daughter has Down syndrome and Turner syndrome. And so I was like, what? And I punched myself a couple times to make sure I'm not dreaming. And boy, it was a challenge. You know, it was one of those things that God used to wake me up from being selfish. God used that week to reveal to me, man, I was a very selfish person. You know, of course, children are gifts from God, and God has given us our children to us to basically be a steward of. And so, you know, they're not ours, they're His. And so I'm thankful for my children. We have 7 wonderful children, And I'm just very thankful that God has given them to us, and we're able to train and admonish for the work of the Lord. So we're very thankful for that. My wife, we're very thankful for you folks. Thank you for investing in our family. Just want to give you a quick update, if I may. Laura's doing great. You know, she's progressing. And I know I've already been given an update. I just asked for permission, but it's okay. She's doing wonderful. Lois, I think many of you follow us on social media or have seen our pictures, updates and such. But Lois is growing up, and her hair is all over the place. Okay, I don't know where she gets the genes from, but that hair is crazy. Okay. So Lois is growing. Timothy and Tad is actually here with me, and they're having a time. I asked Timothy, "Hey Timothy, you ready to go home?" Well, of course, we're about 10 days removed from heading back, and Timothy said, "No, I want to stay here forever." Okay, I said, "All right, you want to stay here forever? All right." So, we're looking forward to heading back in about 10 days. Glad to have them with me. Titus and Tyler, of course, doing well. They're serving there. They're in the bus ministry. By the way, praise the Lord for the bus ministry. I see a lot of bus kids in here, and I mean, I'm so thankful that the church that I got saved in 26 plus years ago, we're still running the bus ministry. We're still reaching new people, and I'm very grateful for that. In ministry, the Lord's have kept us really busy this past year. Of course, we started our Bible college, and we have about 13 or so full-time students. And we added another staff member to our staff there, Casal. As a matter of fact, you folks just picked him up for support. Thank you so much for getting behind him. He's been a tremendous asset to our ministry. And so because of that, I've been able to have him assist us in our learning center that we started this past year. You know, when you homeschool, it's a little bit different. It's a different animal, if you would. And with 7 kids, it's kind of a challenge. So I figured, you know, my wife needed a hand, so we started a learning center that helped accommodate the Keel family as well. And so we run a learning center at our home, and we were able to enlist Brother Casal's help. And he's been phenomenal. And of course, Miss Michelle, she's been a blessing. Thank you for supporting her as well. And so God's been keeping us very busy there in Cambodia. We go to the villages every week. One particular village you're familiar with, Romdeng, drive about 5 hours one way. 45 minutes of that trip, we're going through basically almost like the Grand Canyon, if you would. And so it's always an experience. And Romdeng's doing well. This past year, we've seen I don't have the figures in front of me, but there's 20 plus people saved from that village, and people who have gotten saved have been instrumental in reaching new people. They're the ones reaching and teaching. And so what a blessing to see that come about and see what the Lord's doing over there. And our church plants in various provinces are growing, and we're very thankful. And just recently, we just acquired new property, and we're so thankful that the Lord gave us this property. This past October, we needed to look for a place because we found out that in a year and a half, our rent is going to almost going to basically it's going to double after the contract ends. And with real estate just busting and booming, it's just getting very expensive. So we started looking around, Brother Buna and I, and we drove around and we saw just an open, basically a rice field. Saw a rice field, and there's some development going on. We went over to ask questions, and make a long story short, we were able to put a down payment by faith, amen. We put a down payment on there, and this was October. And then we needed to come up with the rest of it by December. And so we're like, okay, let's figure this out, all right? Let's see, have 7 kids. One of them can go for 2, one of them go, no, just kidding. And just, so I'm starting to think here, okay, how are we gonna do this? But you know, the Lord's faithful, and we actually got the entire amount before December. Early November, we got the whole amount, and I didn't even get to put it on my newsletter yet. And came in, and we were able to pay for the property. And so that's of the Lord. I mean, I really can't explain in great detail how he did it, but he did it. We're thankful for that. And so that's going to be instrumental in helping our ministry go forward. The new property and Lord willing, getting a building on there, and it will serve as a hub, as Pastor Esposito would always say, a hub, a factory to train more workers and send them out. And so we're excited about what the Lord has opened up for us to do there. And so phase one's done. The land has been purchased. And then phase two is going right now. We're building a wall around the property. And we're going to elevate that land, because prior to us purchasing it, it's a rice field. And so we need to elevate the dirt there. And then phase three, of course, we're going to start construction. So you pray for the work there. Thank you so much for investing in our family and in our ministry there in Southeast Asia. And again, very thankful to be back, see old faces, see new faces, and have the opportunity to share what the Lord has laid on my heart this evening. Okay, if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We are about 13 days into the new year, 2019, and of course, when there's a new year, there's a new beginning. There's a time to press that reset button. How many of you often need to press the reset button? You like to press that reset button, okay? And some of us, we do various things that we consider pressing that reset button. We turn to some of our hobbies, okay? How many of you like to read? You like to read? Okay, all right. And how many of you, reading is sort of your go-to for that reset button, okay? All right. And how many of you like to work out? Brother Nate, don't raise your hand. Okay. All right. How many of you like to eat? Nate, you can raise your hand, okay? So, but I like to do all those things, amen? But, you know, we need to press that reset button, and the new year provides an opportunity for that, you know, to start over, to start fresh, to make, as Brother Vaught preached this a couple Thursdays ago, or last Thursday, make resolutions, right? And new resolutions. And how many of you made some of those new resolutions, okay? How many of you already broke some, okay? You know, it's better than plan. I mean, it's better to plan, right? It's better to make a goal rather than not make one at all. So, I this message really, it's for me. I'm preaching to myself. It's something that I need to work on. And I'm going to preach on the 4-letter word, work. Amen. Work. Sometimes I like to be lazy. Okay, how many of you like to be lazy? All right. I like my shirt untucked. Okay, if I had a choice, I'd untuck my shirt right now. Amen. I like to wear Crocs. Amen. I hate these shoes. I don't like these wingtip shoes or whatever these shoes are called. But I like to be lazy. Okay. I like to lounge around. I like to sit back. I like to watch football. I like to watch basketball. Okay. I like to hang out. Okay. I want to be. There comes a time that if you want to get things done, you have to work. You have to work. And so, in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. Before I get ahead of myself, let's look at that verse real quick. Proverbs chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 23. Proverbs 14, verse number 23. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Okay? There are several more verses in the Bible that talks about work that I just want to read to you real briefly here, and then we're going to pray. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread." Okay, if you want to eat, work. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." How many of you like to be under people? Okay, always being listening to orders. And, you know, some people enjoy that, okay? But as a man, you want to take charge, amen? You don't want people, you basically want to lead, okay? And so if you want to bear rule, if you want to lead, you have to be diligent. You have to be diligent. And so, and of course, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, to provide for your own, you got to work. You got to work. And so I just want to touch base on that subject of work and just try to be a blessing to you this evening. Let's pray real quick. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just a great day so far. Thank you for the message this morning about the great things you've done in our life. And now the challenge is, what are we going to do for you? And thank you so much for Pastor Myers, his family. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the staff. Lord, thank you for our people, for their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that you've given me to come back. Lord, it's really a dream of any young boy who's grown up here in this church and sat under the preaching of your word here, and then have the privilege and honor to come back and preach behind this pulpit. Lord, thank you for the vision you've given to our pastor. Thank you so much for, Lord, just the Bible that we can learn, and we can that can give us direction in each and every day of our lives. We thank you for the message tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd help me, use me, Lord, to be a conduit of your blessing to our people. I love you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23, I'll read that verse again. "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." For a while, you know, I've been saved for 26 plus years and read the Bible through. And when you read the Bible through, you come across verses, you don't even know what the word means, okay? One of the words that I don't know what it meant was penury. What's penury, okay? And of course, I looked that up. But penury simply means poor, extreme poverty. And so the Bible says, "In all labor there's profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." You know, each and every one of us, I can imagine that we have a certain Kamai almost came out a moment ago. But there's a certain area in our life that we want to improve this new year. We want to improve it. Some of us, we want to improve in the spiritual aspect. Some of us, we want to improve on the physical part, okay? Some of us want to improve our social life, okay? How many of you, like me, you really don't go out of your way to talk to people as much as you should, okay? I have to do that on purpose. I like to be kept back to myself. I really don't like to fellowship, if you would, but I need to improve in my social life, okay? Some of us, we strive to improve in our prayer life, okay? Some of us, we need to improve in our financial life, okay? Christmas just came about, and I'm sure that credit card bill is calling for you, right? And so we need to improve in our financial life. Our personal development, okay? We need to improve our health, right? And I pray, you know, why do we need to put priority on our health? Well, if we're not healthy, we can't serve the Lord. Okay, we need to work on these areas. And I hope that we strive to improve in these certain aspects. But you know what? In order to improve, it requires work. It requires work. You know, the saying goes, no pain, no what? No pain, no gain. And so I wanna take this verse, just one verse this evening, and I want you to use it and apply it in that aspect that you want improved, okay? What is labor? Labor, the definition of labor is expenditure of physical or mental effort, especially when difficult, okay? It's hard work, laborious, travail, toil, drudgery, grind. That's what labor means. So, of course, there's work, and then there's hard work. But what makes hard work hard? Let me give you three things. What makes hard work hard? Okay. Number one, in order for something to be hard work, there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a sacrifice. You know, we go to, okay, I know some of us in here, we're workaholics. How many of you are like that? You like to work. You like to work. And when you work, when you're in it, what are you doing? Well, you're sacrificing something. You're sacrificing food. Okay, sometimes when you're into your work, you're doing things, and then you forget to eat. Okay. How many of you guys, sometimes that happens, you forget to eat. How many of you guys say, oh, I don't forget enough, amen, I don't forget enough, I'm just kidding. But there's a sacrifice, okay? Work becomes hard when it requires sacrifice. There's a sacrifice of time, of food, and of fun. You know, sometimes if you want to work hard, you'll have to sacrifice some fun. You know, I tell my children all the time, work now, you can finish it for me. Play later. Work now, play later. Why? Because when you're done with your work, that play is much more funner, okay, if that's a word. That when you play, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot fun, whatever the word is, a lot or funner, whatever. it's going to be, you're going to enjoy a lot more if your work is done, amen? And so, what makes hard work hard? Well, there's a sacrifice of pleasure, okay? Secondly, there's a surpassing of comfort, or there's a pushing past of our comfort level. You know, everyone has a certain limit. Let me illustrate this. How many of you, you've done curls? I'm not talking about your spoon scooping ice cream and you're flexing while you're doing curls, okay? No, you've done, is Brother Dara in here? Brother Dara? He's ditching church, huh? Okay. So my buddy, we used to work out together. He does the Twinkies and I do the barbells, amen? No, I'm just kidding. But I miss Brother Dara. You know, it's not too bad to get a 15-pound dumbbell and do 20 or 15 or 10, okay? Not too bad, right? You can do it. 3 sets, 4 sets, whatever. Simple. Piece of cake. But it becomes work when that dumbbell becomes a 45-pounder, okay? And by the way, when you do curls, don't use your back. Use your back, okay? You know, go against the wall or something, or use the preacher curl machine or whatever it's called, and do it right. And when you do it right, it's going to be hard work. And so, yeah, the 10, 15-pounder piece of cake, all right, 10 reps, no worries. But when that 15 pounder transformed to a 45 pounder or a 50 pounder, but Pineda does 65, so it becomes a little bit harder. That work has now become hard. Why? Because there's a pushing past of a certain limit. You know, each and every one of us, we have certain limits. Some of us can work 8 hours like nothing. Some of us can work 14, 15 hours. Okay. But you know what? Work becomes hard when there's a certain limit that's surpassed. And so hard work becomes hard when you pass a certain comfort level. When we pass that limit, it no longer is easy, it becomes hard, okay? I'm not much of a runner. I only run when my wife chases me, amen. But I'm not much of a runner. I mean, you asked me to do cardio, Andrew? What is that? What's cardio, okay? I hate running. And I know my limit when I run, all right? If I use a treadmill, I'd probably put it 30 seconds to run. That's it. Okay, I know my limit. But some of you folks, you can run. You can run for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, nonstop, okay? For me, my limit is 30. Once it passed 31 seconds, I start breathing hard. I start, as Brother Jim, I start panting, amen? Start panting. And so I get tired. But, you know, every one of us, we have a limit. We have a limit. And so what makes hard work hard? Sacrifice of pleasure, surpassing of comfort. And thirdly, steady in effort, okay? There's a continual, consistent, steady effort for a long time. What makes hard work hard? Well, you know, I remember back in the day when we used to set up chairs, amen? In the early 90s, mid 90s, we did not have a building. We had a building, but we didn't meet in a building. We met outside, we set up tarps, we set up chairs, and I'm gonna set the story straight right now, Brother Ross, okay? Just kidding. But I remember the day that Pastor enlisted help to set up chairs. I was new to the Christian school. He came to the Christian school chapel and he asked, "How many of you guys want to volunteer to help set up, serve God, okay, and set up for our services that we're going to have outside the building?" I was new to the school. I didn't raise my hand. But I see all these guys raising their hand. I think Brother Ross was one of them. He raised his hand. Just kidding. I don't think he was there. And then Pastor said, "Okay, well, all right, these 10 guys, Ratana, you're in charge." How many of you guys remember Ratana Sin? Okay, so Ratana's in charge. And then Sunday morning comes along, and I would come to the church early. My dad drops me off early. And I see Ratana setting up, I don't know, back then 200 chairs, 150 chairs, all by himself. I said, "Rat, well, where's the 11, 15 other guys that raise their hands?" He looked at me and said, "Those guys are brown nosers, man. What are you talking about?" And so I said, "What? Oh, man, it's messed up." So, you know, Rotson's my friend. I said, "You know, I'll help you." And I got stuck helping him, amen? So for, I don't know, how many years, Brother Myers? Four or five years we were setting up chairs. I forget the number. But that's how I started working out. We used, you know, those metal chairs. You can only put your hand through so many of them, okay? So we got creative. We started challenging each other. Said, "All right, let's see how many we can lift at one arm, okay?" And how many remember your rot? You remember your rot? Your rot's just crazy. He's crazy. And so we started flipping the chairs upside down because the bottom end has a larger gap. And so, again, I'm vertically challenged, so my arms aren't that long. And so I could only stick it out so far as well. But, man, I had 13 chairs in one arm. Okay, and I had 14 on my right because my right was a little bit stronger, okay? And so I was literally carrying. And you know, the hallways of that old property, it wasn't that big. So what did I have to walk sideways, amen? So, you know, we did that for several years. There was a limit, okay? There was a limit. Picking up, setting up chairs, 3, 2, 3, 4, it's not that bad. It's not that hard. But when you start setting up 200, 250 chairs, 300, I don't know if we even set up that much, but that's a lot of work. That's hard work. But hard work becomes hard when you do it for a long time, okay? Setting up one time is not that bad, all right? Picking up a couple chairs is not that bad, but hard work becomes hard when you exert continual effort, okay? And so the Bible says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." I want to talk a little bit about the talk of the lips. What is the talk of the lips, okay? The talk of the lips is an expression or of intention or desire. Okay, an expression of intention, indicating some type of desire. In other words, it's talk, but no action. Talk, but no action. How many of you are guilty of that? I'm guilty of it. Sometimes, you know, the beginning of the year, I say, you know, I'm going to do this. I would like to be that. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Okay? But it's just talk. It's just talk. Talk, but no action. It never goes beyond talk. So the Bible says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Okay? So what kind of talk is there? Well, the talk of vision. I could do, but I never did it. I could be, but I never became. I could accomplish, but I never even started. Talk of the lips. Okay? There's a talk of desire. You know, it's good to have that desire, but it's better to actually do it. You know, we talk about, you know, we have themes every year. The question is, are we with the program? Do we do what the theme of the year, okay? This year, reaching them, teaching them. That's our desire, amen? I think that's the desire of Pacific Baptist Church, right? Yeah. And so, are we going to do it? Are we going to reach them? And not only reach them, it doesn't stop there. Are we going to teach them? It takes work. It takes work. And so, talk of desire, what I want to do. There's talk of determination, what I will do. But then again, you know how it is, talk of the lips. It's just the lips moving, that's it. There's no action. By the way, folks, I'm very, like I said, this message is for me. I want this new year to be a year that's gonna be the best of my life. But I can desire that, but the question is, am I willing to put in the work? And I want to challenge you, church. Is this going to be the year that God is going to do a wonderful, great things in your life? He's already been doing great things, but we want greater things, amen? And talk of the lips. You know, in all labor, again, I'm drilling this verse, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You see, both of these actions has a result. Each of them, I think I just messed up in my English. I'm trying to correct myself. But both of these actions each has or have a result. All right, you guys can correct me later. You see the first part of the verse, in all labor, there is what? Profit. When you work, you're going to gain. Okay? Now, when you're just talking the talk and not walking the walk, the Bible says, tendeth only to penury. What does that mean? You're going to become poor. Not just poor, extremely poor. When you just talk and there's no action, the end result is you're going to be poor. You're going to lack. You're going to miss out. Okay? But by the way, the word profit means gain. Okay? Not break even, gain. You know, sometimes when you know we're in business and you buy something to sell, okay? You don't want to sell at the price that you bought it for, right? Because if you just sold it for what you bought it for, you just broke even. And is that profit? No, it's not. Okay? So the Bible says if you work in all labor there is profit. When you work, you're going to gain. Okay? Profit exceeds your expenditure. Okay. And again, penury means extreme poverty. So if you just talk, you're going to become poor, okay, extremely poor. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm going to wrap it up in a bit here. What's the message? The message is this. You know, God wants us to improve in the area that we want to improve in. He does. But the question is, are we willing to work for it? Are we willing to work for it? Quit talking and start working hard. Simply put, quit talking and start walking, amen? Quit talking and do it. You know, I had the privilege to be trained here. I worked here for 9 years on staff full time. There was talk about, you know, going to the mission field and this, that, and the other. And I was talking too, you know. Remember that era, that phase where everybody's being called to Southeast Asia? Remember that? There was a lot of talk. And I was talking too. I was like, am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? You know what? Again, it's the grace of God. There's nothing to brag about, nothing. It's only because of the grace of God. Praise the Lord that because of work that was put forth and the investment of others, I'm able to see my talk play out. And there I am. I'm on the field now. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, deputation, it wasn't all fun and games. You know, traveling 26 months, living in and out of your van and hotels and stuff like that and other people's garages, it wasn't fun. And on top of that, five small children. It took a lot of work. But you know what? Praise the Lord because of his goodness and his grace. That hard work paid off. And I'm in Cambodia living the dream of my life, serving the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so, folks, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. My question is this, or my statement is this, quit talking and start working hard. I'll give you a couple points and I'm done, wrapping it up. Number one, hard work is always good for life. The Bible makes it very clear, in all labor there is profit. You know, when you work, you're never going to lose. You're gaining something. Number one, you gain character. You know, I'm so glad that I grew up in a church where work is in the culture. Man, I worked. Look, pastor always says, whenever the church doors are open, be at church. And that's what we did. You know, I was just a dumb little kid. I said, okay, I'll listen to what the pastor says. And I was there. And guess what we did at church? Work. We worked. We had our ACE school, and somebody had to get the offices made. I didn't know how to make offices, Ratna and I. Pastor just said, here's the tools, here's the wood, make it happen. We made it happen. I mean, a lot of the tables were crooked and stuff like that, but we made it happen. I remember when we had to set up when we had a new tent. I think Mrs. Meyer's brother welded it together, and he shipped it to our church, Cambodian Baptist Church then, and it was me, Ratna, and another guy. It just came in, it wasn't labeled, no nothing, just a bunch of different pieces. And pastor said, here, you guys are the smartest out in the Christian school. I said, I know, pastor. No, I'm just kidding. And so he said, you guys figure it out. And boy, we figured it out. I mean, the tent was all dilapidated and all messed up, but it was usable, amen? And so, you know, I learned a lot by working, and I profited. You know, going to Bible college changed my life. I didn't know that Bible college, half of them aren't even saved, man. So it made me a better Christian. It made me understand that, hey, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I believe what I believe? And so, you know, I had an English class. Mrs. Zachary was my English teacher, English 103 or 102, whatever it is. And we had to do these silly journals, like 2 pages or something like that, and we have to write thousands of papers. And I think that semester I took 21 credits. And I worked a full-time job. And I was hoping my dad paid my way to Bible college, but he didn't. And so I had to work. And man, that semester was purgatory. It was terrible. But you know what I got out of it? Work. And I got character, and praise the Lord, because of his grace, I'm able to still do what God has called me to do. See, when you work, there's always going to be profit. You're going to gain something. Gain experience. You're going to gain character. You're going to gain something else, too, I forget. But the point of the matter is this. Hard work is always good for life. You know, people get where they are at because of the hard work that they put in. You think CEOs are CEOs because they were slouches? You think head of corporations are the head of the corporation because they were lazy? No, they put in the work. Remember, no pain, no gain. Okay, and so you get where you're at because of the hard work that you put in. If you want a chiseled body like Brother Ross, you need to put in the hard work. So, all right. If you work hard, now I understand, I'm only going to be here 10 more days, so Brother Ross will try to get back at me, but it's okay. If you work hard, profit will come. Profit will come. Folks, quit talking and let's work. Let's work. Let's quit talking about reaching them. We need to talk about it. We need to keep the theme before us, but also, other than talking, we also need to do it. We need to work at it. You know, to reach people, it takes a lot of work. I mean, I just told you, I don't like to really, I'm not a social guy. I don't like to fellowship. It's hard for me to approach people that I don't know. But I start working on it. And now I'm a little bit better. I can start a conversation with somebody I don't know. So in order for me to reach him, I got to know them. I have to approach them. And so, if we want to teach people, we have to reach them. And if we want to reach them, we got to work at trying to win their hearts. We have to come to Soul Winning Tuesdays, Saturday visitation. It takes work. If you work hard, profit will come. And lastly, I'm done. If you want profit, choose work over words. If you want profit, choose work over words. You know, anybody can say stuff. Anybody can say this, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But the question is, when it's all said and done, did you do it? Okay. And so I just want to encourage you church. You're my family, okay? Our family loves Pacific Baptist Church. We're called Pacific Baptist Church in Cambodia, too. And so we're family. And if we want our marriage, our financial life, our health, our just different things, our prayer life to improve this new year, we got to work. We can talk about it, but talk about it tendeth only to penury. You know, when you, I keep lying to you guys, I'm going to wrap up, okay? You know, when I say I'm going to do something for somebody, George, I'm going to do this. And George said, all right, you're going to do it. And then I don't end up not doing it, and guess what George thinks of me? This guy's a liar, man. He said he's going to do that, and he didn't. Well, guess what? My relationship with him has now become poor. He thinks of me a little bit differently. Because why? This guy's just talk. So, church, let's not be that type of Christian. Don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. Let's work at it. Let's be the type of Christian that God wants us to be. And let's go ahead and not just talk about reaching them and teaching them. Let's actually do it. Let's actually do it. When I come back next year, whenever I come back, I want to see a lot more new faces. And I still want to see the old faces, amen? Not that the faces get older. I mean, you guys are just getting younger. But new people. And so Pacific Baptist Church, the Vong family loves you. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for working hard so that we can be on the field. And just a little admonition, admonishment. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips will lead to or tendeth only to penury. And let's choose work over words. Okay? Let's go and pray.